But first, let's remind ourselves of the passage that this series is based on, from Acts chapter 2. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Shall we pray again? Lord Jesus, as we just thought during our time of communion, you were a perfect example to us of how to serve. As the Son of God, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet you humbled yourself to become our servant king, a man of sorrows, even as far as giving your life on the cross for us. As Math brings your message now, challenge us and encourage us to serve you and each other so that we might become powerful messengers of God's love and grace and mercy here in Thornhill. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Are there any people here who were members of any gyms or sports or social clubs? Anyone? Any people here? Are you a member of a gym or a social club? Or are there any people here who are members of like online things, whether it's like a member of a monthly subscription or a course or a gaming, online gaming? Any people here? We got a few, yeah. And are there any, it's confession time, are there any people here who thought they'd stop being a member of something and then found out they were still actually paying? Has that happened to anyone? I can remember saying to a gym membership when I was about 18, all right, I don't want to start coming now after the 3 months membership. And then 9 months later, I found I was still paying. And I didn't go for 9 months. And they said, you had to write it. And so really didn't accept it. Because we've been doing this series on Devoted once a month since January now, so since the start of this year, as a church coming out of COVID, and as a church that has formal membership, yet doesn't really run as one with formal membership. So we started the year and say either we as a leadership team, we felt either we get rid of it, we do it well, or we function differently. And because with membership, we all have different feelings on the word membership. Like we can pay £30 a month. That's what I was doing. I was paying £30 a month of being a member at that gym, but I didn't go for 9 months. And so it didn't really mean anything. I didn't get fitter. I didn't use the opportunity of that membership. I wasn't involved in it. Yet I could still have said I was a member because I paid that monthly subscription, which I was very annoyed at. But our heart as leaders is to really have body members, like 1 Corinthians 12. That's our heart as leaders, is to have body membership, to be the body of Christ, where people are loving, serving, devoted to one another, and using our gifts to serve one another and to serve Jesus, rather than like a formal membership or a piece of paper. And when I started in January, you can catch up online if you want. All these videos are online from the different things. As I reflected, I was frustrated. I was frustrated was leading a church in COVID. I was frustrated not having more time in Thornhill as a pastor before COVID came. And I was frustrated at looking at a members list in which some people I hadn't even met yet. And also, being honest, I felt pressure as well. I felt pressure from that list. Even though I'd been here for about 6 months, I started in the September, we moved in the end of January and COVID kicked in the March. I felt pressure from having a list and of people. I felt guilty, I felt responsible, and I felt these emotions coming out of COVID. But I haven't looked at that list now for over a year, because the pre-COVID church is a different church to now post-COVID church. And I've just realized I have to focus on the people I see, the people in front of me, rather than names on a piece of paper. And so if I sounded strong at the start of the year, which I know I did, then I'm happy to apologize. I'm happy to say, maybe I didn't say everything right. Or if I went back in time, I would have said things differently. But I think it came from a pressure to give formal membership meaning. That's where I felt pressure with. And it's been great to speak to people. As we've talked about this over the last few months, I've met up with different people. What's your thoughts on this, or your feelings, or some people, I'm concerned about that. And so it's been great to talk to people and listen to you and learn from you guys. And like I said, our aim is to focus on body membership. That's our aim. That's our desire, is to focus on body membership, coming out of COVID with people coming, following, serving, and opting in as well, isn't it? Opting in to be devoted to this body at Thornhill Church. Jesus often, he had people come with him, serve with him, follow him, but we had to keep following him, didn't we? They had to keep following, to keep a decision to follow him. So please pray for us as leaders, as in July and August. This is the end of kind of like the series, but please pray for us as leaders as we have some time now over July and August to get away together, to pray, to discuss, to seek God for what he wants this to look like in September. Because we didn't just do this for a series. We want it to look like something. So change will come in how we function. So pray for us as leaders in how we want to aim to be a devoted church for body members. And so pray that we'll have clarity in bringing that for August and going forward into September. And so as we look today as the final one from this passage in Acts, being devoted to serving. And if I could simply put it, devoted to serving is simply being the body of Christ. That's as simple as what does it mean by being devoted? It's serving. It's about being the body of Christ. When Jesus was here physically 2,000 years ago, people went to him, didn't they? They went to him to be healed. They went to him to be cured. They went to him to be have demons freed from him. They went to him to hear the word of God. They went to hear him for wisdom. They often went to him for a free meal as well. They went to him for that. And they went to him for compassion. They went to him for advice. They went to him for help. And so people went to him for many different reasons. But they went to him, and he came to bring the kingdom of God. They went to him, but he came to bring the kingdom of God. But he was restricted to his one body, to that one being. He was the body of Christ. At times he trained and gave authority to his disciples, and the Spirit came on different people, but he was restricted to himself as being one person, the body of Christ. And then we think, oh no, that's it. But then he dies, and we think, oh no, it's terrible. Like, he's no longer around, he's no longer physically here. But when he dies, he rises again, and now he's given us a different promise, that if you are born again in him, if you believe in him, if you trust in him, if you repent of your sins and repent and trust him, he will then give you his Spirit. So the Spirit he had, the Holy Spirit, he will then give you his Spirit, not just as seal, as if like, oh, well, I'm going to heaven now because I've got his Spirit, but he wants us to carry on his work on bringing the kingdom of God. That's why he gives the people of God his Spirit, is to carry on his work of bringing the kingdom of God, of being the people of God. So now, where Jesus was the body of Christ, he dies, rises again. We think, oh no, that's terrible. But he's a lot cleverer than we are. He gives then his Spirit to people who are born again. And so where Jesus 2,000 years ago, where the body of Christ was one person, now the body of Christ is about 2 billion people. It's the church. The body of Christ is the church. He has given his Spirit to us who believe in him, who trust in him. Some of us have had dramatic conversions where we were born again. We can name you the place, the time, the venue, exactly where and when it happened. For some of us, it's a gradual process. For some people, they can't give you a time. They've always had that moment and been brought up and they had it. But for us who've received his Spirit, now, instead of one body of Christ or the physical being of Jesus, now there's 2 billion, because we all have his Spirit and we are carrying on his work. And so I'm just going to read this morning from 1 Corinthians 12. If you've got your Bibles, it'll help you to just go through it. And I'm just going to add some comments on 1 Corinthians 12, as we want his body in Thornhill, don't we? We want the body of Christ in Thornhill, not just in this building, not just on Sundays, but in the community, in our houses, in our homes. And 1 Corinthians 12, I'm just going to add some comments. I'm going to read it all a bit, because it's some parts of Scripture is quite hard to understand. We need people to explain it. But 1 Corinthians 12 is quite an easy read, and so we're just going to read it through together. And I haven't got the verses on screen, but if you've got your Bibles, I'm just going to read. So verse 1 says this. So now about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that you were pagans. Somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. The scriptures here are saying, we were all pagans. We were all distant from God. We were all enemies of God. We were all separated by sin. And for some of us, Jesus Christ was a swear word. And today, isn't it? Jesus Christ, you hear it more from non-Christians than Christians sometimes. Jesus Christ is a swear word. Like then, it said, Jesus be cursed. A lot of people start to say Jesus Christ as a swear word. But since we've been born again of his Spirit, since we've received his Spirit, whether in a moment or a gradual time, we say now, Jesus is Lord. The name Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is the greatest name. Like that is the best name, the highest name, the most glorious name. Our faith and our trust is in Jesus. So Jesus, we say, Jesus is Lord. And verse 4 says, now there are, it talks about gifts now. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same work. It is the same God at work. He's saying, look, guys, all gifts are from the Spirit. All gifts from God are from the Spirit. So they may look different. They may come out different. They may be used differently. But they're all from the Spirit. And they're all gifts. So if they're gifts, it means none of us deserve it. So none of us deserve it. None of us, this gift isn't because we're merited or because we're better than someone else. We get a gift when we receive his Spirit, but it might be different to the person next to you. But their gift is not better than yours. It's just different, because the Spirit is the one who gives it. He's the one who gives it all. So, for instance, if Andy had a map and Leah had £100 and Graham Kairos had a car, and I give those gifts. So they're all mine, but I give Andy a map, I give Leah £100, and I give Graham a car. If I did that now in front of you, you look at me and think, Graham's my favourite. You think that, you? Like, Graham's my favourite. Andy be like, oh no, I've just got to, I didn't even use maps these days. And Leah's thinking, all right, and what dress can I get with this £100? Like, that's. But if I say to you, actually, these are my gifts, I've given them to you, but actually, I want you to use them together. So these aren't to be functioned differently. I'm giving you these gifts for each other. So Graham's got a car, but he hasn't got any money. So what's he going to do with the car? Leah's got the money. £100 actually probably fill you half a tank now. But Leah's got the money. Leah's the one with the money to fill the car. So great, they got a car and they got half a tank. But they don't know where they're going. They need Andy with the map. They need the map. So the Spirit, when he gives out gifts, he's not like saying, all right, this is your gift. That's your gift. So you go off and do yours. You do yours and you do that. No, he's saying, I'm giving you all gifts, but they're for each other. They're for each other. They're to be used together. In our society, we love comparing, don't we? We love saying, that is better than that. They are more important than them. I like them better than them. With God and his kingdom, it's different. He's saying the car, the map, the £100, it's all a gift. You need it all to function for what I'm doing, for what I'm giving you. So he's not better than Leah. Leah's not better than Andy. That gift is not better than that. You need them all to operate together. Even though they're different, and even though I've given different gifts to different people, you need to operate them together. And verse 7 says this, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one that is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. It's almost like he was making a point, wasn't he? Like, I'm just to clarify, it's from one Spirit. Like, it's from the same Spirit. Just so you don't, I'll underline, it is from the same Spirit. And here are gifts, so listing of the spiritual gifts. You've got 1 Corinthians 12, which I've just read some of them from. But they're along with other gifts of the Spirit in other passages. And there's a lot, isn't there? Like, you look at that, like, there's a lot more than just serving coffee. Like, there's a lot here, isn't there? There's lots of different gifts. And some people have termed, especially the Corinthian gifts here, as miraculous gifts. And some people believe that these gifts have ceased or they've stopped. So they don't function anymore. They were for a certain time, for a certain period, and so they don't function as well. And I just want you to know, as pastor and as elders, we believe all these still function. Like, we believe all these still function. We don't believe they've ceased or stopped. We believe they all still function. And just personally for myself, like, half of my family, so I've got my side of my family and Becky's, half of my family and my life has been brought up in Pentecostal, charismatic churches. And the other half of my family or part of my life has been time in the Open Brethren or Reformed churches. And so I've seen tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, healing, done from when I was a little boy and done in line with Scripture, that confirms Scripture. So for me, I've seen that, and like I've looked at it, yeah, that makes sense. But also, I've seen some crazy stuff on YouTube, or I've seen some stuff in different meetings or different things that people who are cautious, but also people who actually, I look at my Bible and I don't see it, people say, well, they look at that and they see that and they say, well, that's not in line with the Scripture, so I don't believe it. And I've got good friends, even in my own family, who don't believe this is for now. So people who I love, people who I appreciate, and so there is difference and there is secondary. And even my upbringing is part of the Apostolic Church, which came out of the 1904 revival, along with Elim, and actually both from the Llynvi Valley, from Maesteg. Well, what can I say? But the Apostolic Church is mainly regarded as apostolic over Elim because they still believe in the gift of apostles. So my brother is regarded as an apostle in the Apostolic Church, and right now he's in Malawi in his role as an apostle. He doesn't drive a Rolls Royce, or like he's not like he hasn't got a bodyguards around him. There, like he lives on Tondi Road in Bridgend. He's got an older car than me. Do you know what I mean? He's a bit taller, cleverer. I'd say less, not as good looking, but he's just like another. But they recognise that gift, and that's. But also my brother-in-law, who works for a church in Gibraltar. Reformed upbringing, he would say this is ceased, and he's my brother-in-law. I'm seeing him later. I love him. And so they would, but we want you to know as pastor, as leaders, we believe that these gifts are still in operation, but because of my upbringing, because of my experience, we want to see them done well. We want to see them operate in line with Scripture. But if for instance we're unsure or we're questioning, let's just say today that all of these scriptures are for today. So if you're unsure or you're doubtful, let's just say that all of these gifts are for today. And so if they're all for today, what does a body look like if some of them aren't operating? So if these gifts, change these gifts for body parts, okay? Work that out. If you want to say teaching is the arm, wisdom is the left eye, healing is the brain, just work that out. So change these right now for body parts. And so if all these make a body, but not all of them are being used, what does a body look like? How does the body operate? For instance, if I put my arm in my pocket right now and I walk around all day with that, I can still operate, can't I? I can still move around. But I'm not operating fully. I'm restricted to that. If I can't hear, if I'm deaf, I've still got ears, but they're not functioning. And I can still operate, I can still lip read, I can still communicate, but I'm limited. But for me, don't we want to see it all? Like, don't we want everything that God has given us? Don't we want to see people come to faith in different ways? We want to see people come through the kindness, the gift of encouragement, through the gift of preaching. But man, imagine we start seeing people in Thornhill Creme raising from the dead and coming to faith through that. Like, that's a story, isn't it? Like, wouldn't you take that? Because that's in His Word. Like, that's in His Word. I'm hearing other churches seeing healing and people releasing the gifts of healing and hearing that. And I've got like, we see jealous as a bad word sometimes, but the Bible says God is jealous. He's jealous for us. For me, like, I've got a jealousy. I want to see that here. Like, I want to see that here. I want to hear the Word of God in different ways. I want to see His Spirit and the gifts used in different ways. I want to see that in Thornhill. And I appreciate that we are just one of many bodies in the world. We're part of His global church. But also we are the body of Christ in Thornhill today. And verse 12 says this, "And just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink, even so that the body is not made up of one, but many parts." So let's just say Ruth Hurley is given the gift of prophecy, or Nico is given the gift of helps, or Kathy is given the gifts of encouragement, or Steve Moody is given the gift of administration. Is he any good? No, he's not. Like, there's lots of gifts, isn't there? Like, if you look there, there's loads of gifts, just like there's loads of body parts. There's loads of body parts, but they're given by the Spirit to function as a body. They're given by the Spirit to function as a body. These gifts are body parts to function as a body. Verse 15 says, "Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye," for instance, if all we did was preach, if that was the only thing, "if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Verse 18, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." We said last week, like, we were never created to be compared. Like, we were never created to be compared. Sin brought that game in. Like, we were never created to be compared. And so when we see each other and people's gifting and people's ability or skills, we can think, because of our culture, because of our comparison in our world, we can think, they are better than me. They're more important than me. They're more gifted than me. They are being used by God more. God loves me, but he obviously likes them a bit more. But think of how amazing your body is. Just think of your body right now and all of the body parts. Think of it. I'd love a doctor to come and explain right now. But like, think of all the body parts right now, things that we don't even know about. Like, none of us could say, actually, if you want, just take my liver out now. I don't really need it. Or, yeah, my left hand, I prefer my right, so just chop that off. Or my little toe, I could probably, like, kind of go without that. Like, God, would we say that God has created our bodies perfectly? Would we say that? That God knows what he's doing? That God has created us human beings? That we haven't evolved from monkeys? That we didn't come from the Big Bang? That we are not an accident? Would we say amen to that? Amen. Yeah? And so God created our bodies right now, so you are hearing me, being able to understand, and not even just being able to understand right now, but your heart is beating. Your heart is beating. And let me tell you, you're not doing that. You are not doing that. That pulse or your heartbeat, you are not doing that. He's causing that to happen. And he's causing it all, the blood, the lungs. We could say, oh, just take one lung out then. Like, that's going to affect you for the rest of their life. Sometimes people have liver transplants or they have to give an organ to a loved one. That affects you for the rest of your life. Some people need their legs amputated or one leg. You're going to walk with a limp for the rest of your life because he's created the body. He knows what he's doing. And so with these, he's saying they're all body parts, I know what I'm doing, and so your physical being, I'm just going to express that in my church. I'm expressing that in my church. So none of us can say to you, if you feel insignificant, or if you feel, oh, my gifting's not that good. Like, I dislocated my finger like 5 years ago. It's really annoying. I can't move it. Like, I can't move it. And it's really annoying. Like, it does limit. I can't grip fully. And you could say, oh, I'm just a little finger. Man, I miss my little finger. Like, we need one another. God, no matter what body part you are, no matter what gift you, God has given you that gift. And verse 18 says, God has placed the body parts. Can anyone remember, I should have put it on the screen, the operation game? Anyone play the operation game? Where it's just like that weird guy on a picture, and then you've got to get body parts and put them in a different place. Can you remember that game? And then I think it buzzes if you get it wrong. Like, it's God, by his Spirit, who has distributed gifts, body parts out. And it's almost like his church is a bit like the game Operation. Like, it's his body, he's placed it, and so we kind of need to work out where the bits go. We need to kind of work out, oh, is this their gift, is this their calling, how does this function? We kind of work out where the bit, and sometimes we, that's wrong. But sometimes we find fits, and sometimes I've found that my gifting changes. The gifting changes, or sometimes I could do this, now I can't do it. Sometimes I didn't think I'd be gifted in there, but now I'd be able to do this. But what happens when the game operation, it comes with a body, and it comes with the body parts on the side. And for some of us, maybe for some of you today, you think you're not gifted enough, or you haven't got a gift, and your body parts on the side. And you say, I don't want it there. Like, if I give you a gift, if my Spirit's in it, I've given you a gift to be in my body. It's not to be on the side. It's not to be on the outside. For some of us, maybe we've had a break from church, or we're in a season of rest, or maybe we're in a dry time, or a hard time, or coming out of COVID. We all need a break, don't we? But God is saying, I don't want you outside. I didn't create you to be outside. I created you to be in my body, functioning in my body. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Maybe that's a word for some of you today. Indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. If you've got a pen right now and you've got a Bible in front of you or an app on 25, underline that, highlight that, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is to show respect and honor we need for the different body parts of his body. There may be a child, or maybe your child, or a teenager in the church right now, who's a bit like a body part. They're a bit like the funny bone. And they're not funny, they're actually a bit annoying. Do you know what I mean? So the body part is that. But that's a season of like just loving them, being patient with them, saying they're still valued, that we're still here, that we're going to see this season through, we're going to see you come out of it. Right now, yeah, you are a bit of a funny bone. You're a bit annoying. Sometimes when we knock you, we kind of probably want to knock you a bit harder or kind of get you out, but we love you. You're part of this body. We want to see you through. We want to see you through. And no limits here today. We want to say that we love you guys. We appreciate you. We're grateful that you're part of this church. And you have all sorts of feelings and things with going on in your world right now. and we want to say, hold on. Hold on. God is good. He loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. And the enemy wants to take that away. He wants to take that away from your life. Hold on. In this tough time right now, hold on. Because God has got you, and we are here for you. But also, as we get older, our own bodies don't function the way they used to. And some people here may not be able to serve the way they used to or function the way they used to. And so this is a time for the rest of us to appreciate them, to show honor, but also to give value to those people because you're still a body part. It's not as if like you get to a certain age and like again, the operation game, you come out. No, you're still a body part. You're still valued, but you may function differently. And the different gifts, sometimes we just think, oh, my gifting is to serve coffee. Like, God created you with all your ability, all your skill, all your knowledge. You're unique. Like, without disrespect to coffee, most people can make coffee. Like, he's given you something more than that. Don't see your role as your gift and just limit it to that. Like, you are more than coffee. Do you know what I mean? Now, if you serve once a month on the welcome team, that's great, but you're more than that. You're more than that. God's given you gifts more than that, more than your role. It's not just our role. We love to put titles on it. It's not the role, it's your gifting. Coming into land, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Think about that. Think I'm just saying it to you right now on your own. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed you in, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing. And you might think, oh, he's created a list right now, first, second, third. But no, he's just said they're all equal. He's saying that. But he's saying then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? The answer is no for all of them. Do all interpret? No. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Are we born again? Do you have God's Spirit within you? Like, do you love the name of Jesus? When you read his word, do you sense him speaking to you? When you pray, do you know he's listening? When you worship, do you feel his closeness? Like in verse 1, is Jesus Lord? Not just God, but is he Lord? Do you say, Jesus, you are Lord, you are God, you are in control of my life. Is Jesus Lord? If so, you have his Spirit. And if you have his Spirit, he's given you a gift. If you have his Spirit, he's given you a gift. Like Jesus, when he was born, what was he given? Gifts. He was a boy. He didn't know what frankincense was or gold. But he was given a gift. If you have his Spirit, you are given a gift. But guess what? It's not for yourself. If it's for yourself, it'll dry up and die. He's given you a gift. It's not for yourself. It's for his glory. And it's for his church. It's for his church, which is his body. If you have his Spirit, he's given you a gift for all of us. Like a sharing time. It's for all of us. It's not for yourself. You do it outside the church or outside the Spirit. No, it's for all of us. It's for his church. And one of your purposes in life is to know that gift and serve him in that gift. We serve him in other areas. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anyone to just not do coffee now. I like coffee. But to know your gifting and serve him in that gifting. And I just went through 1 Corinthians 12. But like I said, sorry, there are pieces in Scripture showing other gifts. And just look at those words. We've added them up on the screen. Just look at those words and think of the life of Jesus. Look at those words and just think of the Gospels and the life of Jesus. Doesn't it look like Jesus? Like evangelism, fulfilling prophecy, showing mercy, leadership, gifting, helps, knowledge, miracles. For me, like, that looks like Jesus. That looks like his life. That looks like the Gospels. That looks like his body. And so it's because, as Paul has said, guess what, guys? It's the same Spirit. Like he's saying, like, to see one man, like, it's the same. In case you forgot it, like, it's the same. The mission is the same. The kingdom is the same. But now he wants us all to be a part of it. He wants us all to be a part of it, to continue through his body, which is the church. And coming out of COVID, like, we are a different church. I heard someone in our last meal together say, who's been a part of the church for over 25 years, say, I don't know half the people here. Like, it's different now. Like, we're seeing people every week, and it's different. And so we want to use people. We want to get people involved serving. We want people to know their gifts and express their gifts. And we've talked a lot about gifts today, but gifting isn't the most important thing. Like, gifting, like, is great, and it's a gift. But like I said, it's done out of merit. It's not the most important thing. Because 1 Corinthians 12 talks about gifts. But 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, so literally the next verse, which has been in the same letter. We've split it, but same letter. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, okay, and it talks about all the gifts, but it says, I'm just using this as an example. So if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, so if I've got that gift, but I don't have love. So if I've got a gift, but I don't have love, then I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If you've got a spirit, you've got a gift. But if you don't have love, it means nothing. It means nothing. If you've got the spirit, you've got a gift. But if you don't have love, it means nothing. And as a pastor, there's three things that I look for in myself and also in people, and it's character, commitment, and calling. Like, they are the three things: character, commitment, and calling. And may I say, calling or gifts is the easiest thing because it's a gift. Because it was given to you. Like, it was given to you. So that's the easiest thing. Character, commitment, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. If someone doesn't love Jesus or look like Jesus or don't want to love like Jesus, so their character's not like Jesus, like, that's not love. 1 Corinthians 13 says that's not love. If someone isn't committed or just turns up when we want or on our own agenda, again, that's not love. Like, that is not love. But if someone is loving or going after Jesus in all our flaws, in all our failures, and is loving and committed to his church, his body, then as a pastor, like, I see that, I'll invest in that. And then out of that, then I look to develop gifting. Then I look to develop calling out of the character and the commitment. Because this isn't an event. We haven't come for a show or the gifts. Like, we want people who know Jesus, who love Jesus. We want people who are devoted to his body, to serving one another. And then out of that, we use our gifts. Out of that. When I was 18 years old, even before I was 18, the band are going to come up now, if that's possible. We're going to sing a final song. We're not going to watch a video. We're going to sing a final song as the band come up to pray as well, so they can come up. But when I was 18, I became a Christian when I was 18. But even before I was 18, There were prophetic words over my life, or people have said things in my life and said, like, the calling of God is on this, like, on this boy's life. Like, he'll be in full-time ministry. Like, he's called to be a minister. He's called to preach and teach. Like, that is his gifting. People saw that in me and said that out to me. And I was like, I don't want anything to do with church. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And then when I was 18, like, I knew, like, this was my gift. But did they just hand me the mic? No way. It doesn't work like that. Like, do you just get to, like, kind of play or influence people? No. I had 15 years of working on my character and my commitment to his church before I end up fulfilling my calling. Like, 15 years. It was said even before I became a Christian. 15 years of developing my character and my commitment. And let me tell you, I've got lots more on that, on my character and my commitment. And that's the area I need to develop more, on my character. My character, who I am when no one else sees, my love for Jesus, my love for his word. Do I want to be like Jesus? That's where it counts. And trust me, if I come up here once on a Sunday and you never see me in the week, I'm never available, I don't come to your house, or I don't give you time, then this is just a gift, isn't it? Like, this is just an event. Like, where's my commitment to you, to his body, to the people he's called me to serve? Like, my character is the most important thing, my commitment to the body, and then out of that, I fulfill my gift. But I need to work on that, those two areas, more than this. Because otherwise this can become a show. This can become nothing. I can write this, I can Google this, write this. Like, this just becomes a show. If my character isn't like Jesus, if I'm not loving the people he's put in front of me. So character and commitment. And then we get to serve one another. So we want, as a leadership team, we want to use people more. We want people to serve more in things like kids and coffee. Don't get me wrong. We want people to serve one another, don't we? We want people to serve one another. But more than a role, please, more than a role, we want people to know their gifts, to serve in their gifts that God has given them, and just to do it under our leadership, not because we want to control people, but that's the gifts that he's given us. That's the calling he's given us. And we want to do it to protect people and to use our gifts in line with Scripture. Colossians says this, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all the wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Let's pray. Yeah, Father, we thank you that you believe in us and that you love us, Lord. And you didn't just die for us and give us your spirit as like kind of a ticket to heaven and ride this life. You've given us your spirit, and also you've given us gifts, Lord. Gifts to serve your church. Gifts to play our part. Gifts to be involved. You believe in us. You want us to be your body. You want us to function as your body. And Father, Lord, coming out of COVID, lots of us are tired, Lord. Lots of us are tired. Lots of us have been in this church 10, 20, 30 years. And for maybe some of us, it's like, oh, can I do this again? Or, yeah, oh, let's let someone else have a go. Lord Jesus, just pray, encourage our hearts, Lord. Encourage our hearts. You know us. You see us. And you don't stop, Lord. You don't take us out of the operation game. You want us to be your body part. And Lord Jesus, for people you've joined us since COVID, who've come even in this year, Lord Jesus, we just pray you'll, we'll help them feel welcome and loved. and a part of this family. And Lord Jesus, yeah, help them develop their character and their commitment. And so we see their gifting, Lord. And so this serves your people, your church, this place that we're in. Lord Jesus, you've placed us as the only church in Thornhill Church, in Thornhill. We are your body. We appreciate there's other people who are other churches. We are your body in this area. So Lord Jesus, help us be your hands and feet. Help us be your eyes and your nose. Help us proclaim, Lord, with your word. But also, Lord, we want to see healing, Lord. We want to see miracles. We want to see the deaf hear. We want to see the blind see. Not just spiritually, Lord, but physically. Lord Jesus, will you increase something over us today? Even over our theology, Lord, will you increase? Will you touch us afresh and bring your gift in, Lord? Bring your body to this place. Revitalize our hearts, Lord. Do work in our hearts to serve this people and one another and to be your people, be your body in this season for such a time as this, Lord. Amen, God.